Marto, Ed and Robin for brekkie, weekdays from 5:30 on Triple M.
Yeah, a little bit of a catch-up for you. Now, we did speak to some people that have been live on the ground in Las Vegas after the terrible events there, give you some updates, so we got that for you. But then we also had a bit of fun as well with Rich Uncle Mel, guys.
Yeah, and also Marto sleeping with his best mate while in South Africa.
Oh, we weren't best mates beforehand, we were after.
That's right.
What happens on tour stays on tour.
Macklemore claims another one. This is what happens.
Yes.
Enjoy. And, oh, yes, Robin.
No. I wanted to say we should also replay all your baby advice because I find that incredibly exciting.
Very lot of helpful. A lot of help out there for a new dad who doesn't know what he's doing like me, and I appreciate it. I'm sure I'll be asking again.
Don't ever get up in the middle of the night. Your boobs are useless.
That's very true. Enjoy the catch-up. Bye now.
Here comes the Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up. Thanks to our mates at West Point Nissan, where the big one is back. Get one unbelievable deal and rate across a range of Nissan vehicles like the X-Trail, Pathfinder and the Navara. This is your one chance to take advantage of one great finance offer. Only for a limited time and only at West Point Nissan, 440 Moggill Road in Drapilly or westpointnissan.com.au.
Okay, I've been super excited about this, Ed Cavalier, with you being back at work with us and now being a brand new dad of the beautiful little Arnold Martin Cavalier, yes?
Yeah, that's his name currently.
What, it might change in case you don't like it?
No, I'll probably change it to Waleed at some point, but not yet. You know,
it's more up to him and his mates at school, what they call him.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. Well, when we chose a name because we wanted it to be a name, if you know what I mean, because there's a lot of these days, you know, a lot of words that get thrown in it that are apparently names and that type of thing. And we thought calling him Arnold, there's no way that he's going to have any of that trouble of like having to spell it or have any of that tough, you know, that on the forms, Marto and Robin, or trying to explain it down a phone line. Because every, you know, call center is now overseas. And so you want to try and make life as easy as possible for the kid. But already it happened. We had a flight booked to go to Bali at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got pregnant. So we had to put him on the booking. We ring up to put him on the booking and my wife says, his name's Arnold. She says, yeah, Arnold, no, no worries. We get the itinerary back. Mm. It says, Tiffany Hall, Edward Cavalier, and our Lord Cavalier.
Oh, great.
Arnold. So I rang him up and I said, what's our Lord? What kind of person is this? It's like a proclamation to God. That's not a name. What are you talking about? And she's like, yeah, we thought it was weird when your wife said it. We're like, what are you talking about?
That's
not our Lord, it's Arnold.
Go and indulge me as the mum in the room. Is he sleeping okay? Is he eating okay?
He's a boob guy. He is. Tiff wanted to breastfeed and she's been lucky enough to be able to do that. And so, you know, it's funny because your whole life changes so much. Like you concentrate like a burp. If the kid burps, it's like the celebrations in the house.
The
right?
Hallelujah chorus is played.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. And you know, life's changed yesterday when we were all just sitting around, you know, we're just sort of, he got a bit hungry. He'd had a sleep. He'd had a nap and he got up again. And my wife said, oh, okay, I know what we'll do. And she got her boobs out and she goes, oh, my boobs are a bit sore. And I said, do you want me to, you know, massage them or whatever? Yeah. And she says, no, go and get the pump. And for an hour yesterday, my wife and I sat there with two bottles, one on each side of my wife's breasts as she pumped out breast milk. Right?
Wow, what a moment. Milking your wife.
That's why I was. I was like, well, wow. Always felt I wanted to be a dairy farmer in some respect. And now I'm getting my chance. And when we got to the end of it, like she'd had like 200 mils, Robin.
That's very impressive.
And I made the mistake because I was like, oh, I go, oh, that's no good. And she's like, what are you talking about? 200 mils? That's great. And I was like, oh, right. She said to me, how much milk did you think I would have in my breasts? And I honestly thought, I said,
you'd be a liter bottle?
Yeah, I thought you'd have about a liter in each. Well, at least enough to fill one of those big mother cans, something like that, you know? And she's like, look at me, like, what is he?
You
like,
really are clueless though, aren't you? Are you learning a lot?
Every day is a giant learning curve. I'm absolutely loving it. But as you say, they don't come. My friend Rob Sitch said to me, when you drive them home, you know, when we drove him home, you drive at 10 kilometers an hour and you realize there's no manual for these things.
Yep.
They need you to make them survive, but there's nowhere you can go to get advice.
Every one of them is different. But the good thing is, at the moment, he can't move. Like when they can start rolling, you have to just you have to keep a hand on them the whole because he can't roll anywhere at the moment, can he?
No.
Wait until they move, mate. Then your life. Oh,
then your life changes. But I guarantee you, if it's your first, he is attached to Tiff at every point. She would not leave him in one room and go to another unless he's sleeping.
Well, sometimes I have to look after him, right? And not sometimes I have to. I love looking after him. But I'm saying when she has something else, she's got work or something, she's back at work, she's doing all that sort of thing. And there's something that keeps happening where I'll pick him up and I'll just sort of be cuddling him and talking to him, just, you know, telling him about different,
the
rugby league statistics
clubs.
He's going to need to know, that type of thing.
All the good stuff.
And he'll mouth my chest. He'll start mouthing me, right? Like, and I'm like, man, it's a bit weird. And there's no... If you're going to get 200 mils out of mum, you're going to get nothing out of me. So I there is so much to know. I've completely lost. Your one best parenting tip. Come on.
Am I allowed to check on air? I know your father-in-law, Marty, Karate Marty, loves Arnie Schwarzenegger. Was that a nod?
No, it was, I don't know. I just, you know what it was? I thought of it one day while we were at work and I texted it to my wife and she said, yes, please. Because remember the name that we had picked out, a dog. At my wife's work, someone got a dog and named it our baby name at my wife's
what
work.
What was it? So what was the name?
We were thinking about another name. My wife's told me, and I'm not allowed to say it.
So, who's the world's most famous Arnold? Is it Arnold Palmer? Schwarzenegger? Oh, yeah. Arnold Horseshack, remember him?
Oh, my God.
Anyone Google that? What show was that? Anyone?
What was that?
Welcome back, Cotter. Dork in that show.
Most people weren't even alive then.
I know.
We're asking for advice for Ed as the new dad, but I am guessing, Greg Martin, that the advice you would give is about circular breathing and changing nappies.
Oh, changing nappies. Breathe through your mouth, not your nose.
Have you done that yet?
I've actually got a better one. When I'm changing his nappy, I sort of stand off to the side because my wife keeps getting sprayed and I haven't yet because
mouth closed, mate.
mouth closed. That's a good one. All right. I'm writing these down. Give me your one best parenting tip. David from Wellington Point, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, guys. Congratulations, first of all, Ed.
Thanks, Dave.
I would recommend that you and your wife read to your son as from a really early stage. Just start reading out loud. Read books. Read Rugby League Week, but read children's books.
Tattoos.
Wiggles. Yeah. Golden Books, Peter Pan, Wizard of Oz, or anything that you can get your hand on and develop a love of reading within your son.
We've already started, which means I've actually, yesterday, I read The Hungry, Very Hungry Caterpillar, and I won't spoil it for those that haven't read it, but geez, what a tale. What a tale that is. Thank you, Dave. That's a great one. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hayden of Narangba, what's your one tip?
Mate, do not leave the kid when they're rolling on a bed, on a couch, anything like that. Because when you're living in an old wooden house.
Go. What happened?
About 10 minutes later, well, plenty of experience with this one, you'll hear a thud and your child will start crying.
On the timber floor.
Have you heard the thud, Hayden, in your life? Have you heard the thud, mate?
Yeah, about. She still falls off the bed now. She's 2 years old.
Yeah, see, it's so funny you say that, Hayden, because my wife has kept saying to me, don't leave him. When you're changing his nappy, when you're in the couch, do never leave him, never leave him, never leave him because you'll roll off. So I'm writing that down. That's another good one. I said to her, we'll get him some headgear, like little cute headgear.
Oh, that's good.
Little JT headgear.
Yeah, little JT one.
Yeah, no.
Chucky from Bucket. Yeah, what do you guys?
Well, congratulations, Ed.
Thanks, Chuck.
The best advice, don't let him sleep in your bed. They have a cot or a cradle or whatever.
Yep.
And then if you let them in as a tiny little person, when they get bigger, you can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, Chuck.
And you have a big people's bed. Okay. Never the twain shall meet.
We got one. We've got a bassinet in our room. So he sleeps sort of next to us, but not with us. That's about right.
No, not in the bed. Yeah.
But they're not in the bed.
The trap for young players here, though, is if he's having sleepless nights and Tiff is feeding in the middle of the night and everyone's super exhausted, it is so easy to just snuggle him up beside you asleep.
She also says that Arnie can't sleep in the bed because if I'm in the bed and I roll over, I may crush him.
Yeah, that happens.
And suffocate.
Not ideal. Adam called through from Kenmore and said, don't listen to anyone's advice. So,
that's the best.
There you go.
Adam.
That's not helping, Adam.
Come on, mate.
We like giving advice and Ed is listening. That's a good thing.
I'm loving that. I might ask again once he starts talking and moving. And I've got one more. Don't do what I did the other day, which is after he's had a feed, like hold him underneath his arms and like lift him up and go like, woo, Yeah, because you will be on the business end of a vomit tsunami. That's
Vomitron. Marto, Ed and Robin on Triple M.
Would you guys agree that the Storm and Cowboys grand final was everyone in Queensland's, or most people in Queensland's, two second favourite teams?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was a soft, it was a good result, whatever. For you, you
yeah, that's how I felt. When I was watching it, I was like, either of these, I'm happy with. And the more that Gus Gould was hating it, the more I was enjoying it.
I still wanted the Cowboys to win. I did. Like, I just thought their run from coming, they weren't even supposed to make the top eight, and then to do as well as they did without JT, I was like, come on, boys, this could be like the greatest story ever.
It would have been the fairy tale. I've always hated the fact that the Storm got two grand final wins taken off them, and they don't even acknowledge that. They go, we won them. They played in those grand finals and get stuffed. I love them because of the big three, Cooper, Cronk, Cam Smith and Billy Slater. Like, that's just, I'm full of admiration. Now, Cam Munster's going to go make the Kangaroo team. Good on him. And I like the class of Cooper Cronk. Hasn't announced anything yet. Doesn't want it to be about himself, as always.
This is obviously the last time that I'll play with Cameron and Billy. But as long as Cameron, Billy and Craig are with Melbourne Storm, success will always be there.
And how about that poor fella who broke his leg? Oof. Oh, that was awful. I watched that about four times because I was watching it through my Foxtel so I could rewind it. And it just, oh, my God.
I was away and only watched the highlights. What did they say when he went off, Ed? Did they? Because he's a tackling machine, Fenson, and without him, they were in trouble.
At first, they were a little bit unsure what the injury was, Robin, because he went down and he was sort of putting his arm up saying, I'm in trouble. And then as they carted him off, they were saying, look, you know, he does a lot of the work in the middle. The Cowboys, now the Storm are just going to try and wear the forwards out. You know, they're going to take advantage of this, that type of thing, which is what they do. You know, they wear you down. Robin, I saw a picture of him today with his x-ray, and they show the x-rays of players when you see the broken bone. Yeah. I hate when they do that.
It's a femur, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, the other one, tibia.
Oh, sorry.
The two lower ones. Anyway, he had the green, my mate, because I was getting all this texted to me and then trying to check Fox Sports for replays. My mate said he had the green whistle and was waving as he went off the field.
He was waving. I think he was waving for more green whistle.
Yeah, he was giving the thumbs up.
Yeah,
he was too. And the other thing that I have to say, you know, you guys talked the rugby league until you blew in the face, but I loved Macklemore. I thought he did so well.
Now, what happened at the start? Because all I'm relying on is I'm driving to Johannesburg trying to direct my mate how to get somewhere and trying to watch any replays. But Kath texted me at the start and said, oh, who's this? And then within about half a minute, she went, oh, this guy's great.
Yeah,
he's good. He's good fun, Macklemore.
Been a lot of trouble about the gays, the same love song,
I mean,
was there?
No. He was going to sing a song and he did. And then it's like, song. Well, so what?
But it was funny because as he was running out from the dressing rooms and he had his dancers running around him. And JT, you could see him. He was like as excited as he was be on Christmas Day, waiting for Macklemore to run past. And then he's high-fiving and I'm thinking, mate, if that is the moment of the grand final for you, then rock
did
on.
Did JT high-five Macklemore?
Good. I thought it was I was much more surprised when Macklemore did rooting in the back of the ute. The Rodney Rood classic. That's what offended me.
Was JT as excited as the other North Queenslander, Billy Slater? Did you hear him in the news before?
Still will go and have a couple of salad. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Oh, bless your cotton socks, Billy.
Can I make one point about the Storm? Roy Masters wrote an article, you know, the great rugby league journalist.
Absolutely.
I was reading that on Sunday after they'd won, etc. He said the moment it all turned around was in late in 2014. You remember they lost to Canterbury 28-4.
Okay.
And I know they lost the preliminary final to the Cowboys in 2015, but they turned around 2015 when the coaching staff looked across one night. There were two tables of 10 at a team dinner and 18 of them were on their mobile phones. There were only two blokes talking. And they went, right, that's it. $50 fines immediately for anyone in a team meeting or a team meal who had a phone on. Okay, so bang. Everyone started looking at each other. It meant that people like Cam Smith was talking to the youngest guy on the team. That's one way they turned it around. And from then on, whenever they played an away game, you go into modern dressing rooms of football teams, there's giant anacondas, there's sandwiches and there's fruit. There's no beer anywhere.
Right.
The Storm, whenever they go on a trip, whenever they play away from Melbourne, the Eskies come out and they get on it.
Is that right?
That and no mobile phones has brought the team together.
Connection.
When you said there were giant anacondas in the dressing room, I thought
Jordan McLean. there was one other. Can I mention one other? Yeah, that's Josh Adokar, scored the two tries.
I love that guy.
Did you see him? Yeah, this bit.
Yeah.
Adokar swoops, gets the ball to the
And he was fabulous. Did you see his mum last night?
No.
Fastest guy in the rugby league, I reckon. All right, so you say, righto, kids, how do we become the fastest guy in rugby league? Do we go to Little Athletics or do we do what his mum said last night?
I used to get him to run for the buses and the trains.
Go, mum, yeah. And isn't that appropriate today?
Harden up, kiddies.
Adam McDougall is the health hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
News keeps coming out about the Las Vegas massacre, where at this stage 58 people killed, 500 injured, they're saying, where a gunman on the 32nd floor of a hotel overlooking a country music festival just opened fire and slaughtered a lot of people. And in amongst the terror was a Gold Coast girl who witnessed it all. Sarah, tell us your story.
So last night when the final singer was up on the stage, he was probably halfway through his set and we heard some popping, it sounded like popping noises, and we didn't know if it was a part of his, you know, performance. And Jason sang for probably a good 15 seconds longer, and then once we seen the concerned look on his face and he bolted off stage, a lady was in front of me and we were right up against the stage, and she grabbed her side and she screamed and said that she had been shot, and she moved her hand and blood was everywhere. In that moment, the popping sound was still going, so we dove to the ground and then it stopped. So we started to crawl to try and remove ourselves from the state out of the area, and then it started again, and it sounded louder and longer, and we just laid on the ground and held each other and started praying. Then a young guy yelled and said it there was an exit to our left, and if we could get up and run, just go for it. So we did, and me and my four girlfriends, we ran, we held hands, we did not let go, and we got by the left-hand side of the stage, and then the gunshot started again. So we climbed underneath a semi-trailer that was there, and we sat there for about 3 minutes, but we weren't sure whether there was a shooter within the concert because we were still very close. Or where it was coming from, and we just didn't feel safe. So a security guard guided us. He said, guys, if you can run, you need to run as far left as you can from this area. And we ran, and we went and hid in some private airplane hangars. And we stayed there for about 30 minutes until a SWAT team showed up with some trucks and started just piling us all in these trucks to remove us as far from the strip as possible.
Sarah, they've said there's now over 50 people killed, over 400 people injured. If you were in the throes of that concert, were people, what was happening? Was everyone running with you? Were people dropping? Like, how did that also unfold?
Everybody. So when the lady was shot, blood was going everywhere. A security guard lifted her, threw her over the fence towards the stage. I'm not sure what happened to her from there. And everybody just dropped. In between the shootings, which we understand is when he was changing the, whatever you call it, to continue shooting, is when it went quiet. And that's when we took our opportunities to take either running or crawling. And then he would start again and everyone would just drop again. Because like I said, if unknowingly to us, was he up in a building, we thought it was something going on within the concert.
Oh, right.
Oh, right, of course. We're talking to Sarah, who is an eyewitness who was at the concert in Las Vegas where this shooting took place. You said, Sarah, that there was a guy called Jason who was on stage. I've seen a video of him. He's singing and then he hears something and runs off stage. I assume everyone would have been watching the stage at that point. Is that the first sign that you realise, hang on, there's something wrong here, Jason's just run off stage?
The sound, I'm not too familiar with what a semi-automatic weapon sounds like or a gun. Mm. So to me it was like this unusual, it sounded like firecrackers. And then when he ran off, we still didn't really know. But it happened so fast, but it's so slow at the same time. And it wasn't until the lady that was standing in front of me yelled that she had been shot, then we realized how serious it was and how important it was to get recover and get the hell out of it.
Sarah, well, what happened after it all? Like, you know, we're talking in the first hour. What's happened since then for you and for everyone else in Vegas?
Well, our hotel was actually the Mandalay Bay, so that's where the shooter was shooting from.
Yeah.
So that was our hotel. Obviously, it went down to it was in lockdown, so we couldn't go back to our hotel. We just started making, once we were taken by the truck far away from the strip, we just started making phone calls, and we had someone kind enough to take us to their house that was about 15 minutes out of Vegas. And we just stayed there with all we had was our bags, little handbags and whatever. And then we just continually watched the news. We had a flight to leave Vegas at 10 a.m. this morning, but we didn't have any of our stuff, and we still couldn't get back to the Mandalay Bay because it was still in lockdown.
Wow.
Sarah, thanks for speaking to us today. We're glad you're safe, and look, best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
So, Marta, you've been in South Africa, and you've been there with your best mate, and I understand that you guys made the decision to sleep together in the same bed.
No, we did not make that decision, mate. Don't you?
We did not make that decision.
What led you to this?
No, well, the first two nights we were over there for... We work out 9 or 10 nights, whatever, however long we had a week off, but the weekends on each side. So I was over in South Africa for 9 nights. First two nights we got there, we had it booked in a proper hotel. Everything was fine, twin share. It was like the old days of footy. Two blokes in a room, in beds next to each other. You know, night, Jim Bob, night, you know, you can say goodnight.
Night, Mary Ellen.
And then you get ready to go, and the next morning's another day. When we got on the road, because we went for a bit of a drive before the Wallabies played on the weekend there, we'd pull up to place to go, this place looks all right. And then I'd have to go onto booking.com and I'd book a room. You know, I'd go, well, this place is all right, about our price range. And two adults, see, this is a bit that we didn't realise and don't make any allegations against me anymore. Two adults means you're in a consenting relationship in the one bed. There are no options for twin share.
Right.
We were voting yes on a regular basis every night. We were saying yes to equality because we get into the room and go, oh, no. One bed.
So how did you...
We've known each other since we were 15, this mate, Dan and I. How do we do it? Yeah, whoever went to bed first, and this is the strange thing, whoever went to bed first, you just went to bed, and whoever came to bed second, they put the cushions, so you put one cushion around the back region, one cushion near the legs, and you weren't allowed to touch, and you weren't allowed to face each other at any stage. So if you had to roll over, if you needed, because you had a sore back, had to roll over, the other guy had to roll, because you don't want to be breathing on each other. No touching. Say yes to equality.
Yeah, well, I find it very normal, and I would far prefer to sleep with my girlfriends than I would any of my children.
Would you touch them, though?
Yeah.
Would you wear flanny jammies?
No, not necessarily. Go in a bra and knickers.
Okay. A few blokes just drove off the road. Did anyone ring?
Yeah, lots of people did. Steve of Goodna, hello.
Good morning, crew. How are we this morning?
Good, mate. When did you sleep with your mate?
Oh, it was about 20-odd years ago now that I think of it, but BNS Ball, it was last-minute decision, double swag, back of the Falcon Ute, headed down there, just back-to-back, and yeah. Not a problem at all.
Did you take any clothes off?
I'm pretty sure he was half naked by the topic. He called in the swag, but nah,
It's a BNS.
But how big is a swag, Steve? Like how much room is there between you and your mate?
He's lost for words. He's lost for words.
Well, okay, so a double swag, I can tell you this because I used to do the BNS circuit for a fair while there when I was working at 2WEB in Bourke. Yeah, a double swag, you could lie probably on your side and not touch.
Oh.
But a single swag, absolutely not. You would be jam-packed to each other, and even if you were back-to-back, it would be bottom-to-bottom.
I'm just saying, it's okay. Right. If you're good mates and you don't have to face each other, it's okay. Mm-hmm. What about you, Todd from Burbank? Have you ever done it?
Mate, I go to Fraser every year. We stay in a house, and there's 12 guys.
How many beds?
And sometimes, you know, you got to bunk in with a mate in a double bed. But I put my hand up and do it every year with one of my best mates.
What are the rules?
Mate, there is no rules. Usually, you know, full of beer and bad manners. And I'm the sort of guy that I like to have a bit of room in, so I, you know, snuggle up and
get a bit closer to him, and he actually moves over a little bit, so I get more room in the bed.
Surprisingly.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is actually very clever.
Todd, there was one place we stayed. Now, we were slept together for 5 out of the 9 nights, but one place had the bed against the wall, and if you wanted to go to the toilet, if you're against the wall, you had to climb over. You weren't allowed to climb over. The other guy had to wake up and get out of the bed and then clear way and then back in.
You're so weird. Why?
I don't want to touch my mate.
Why?
I like hugging him when we're fully clothed.
Okay.
I don't want to touch him.
Well, try hugging him not clothed. You might enjoy it.
There you go. Thank you.
Bryce at Ipswich.
Oh, he's just sent me a text with a little smiley face. It's okay. He said, don't mention anything else.
Okay.
Too late.
Whoa.
Bryson.
G'day. How are we, guys, this morning?
Good, mate.
Morning.
Ever slept with your mates?
Oh, a couple of them. So on a footy, on a Sunday we'll have big drinks at the clubhouse. And we usually a couple of the boys bring their utes, bring a mattress in the back, and it's as many as you can fit in the back of the ute and cuddle up because it's usually pretty cold.
Wow.
Beautiful. And body heat. Nothing like body heat, Bryson, eh?
That's it. Fit as many in the ute and have a couple of blankets, couple of bodies together, and you're all good.
There you go.
Beautiful. Now, Bryson, how many can you get in the back of a tray? How many blokes can you get in there?
You'd be very surprised.
Have you heard of girls? They're a new invention, Bryson.
Oh, fantastic.
No, you know what, though? In that scenario, yes. In the back of a ute, and say you have 10 blokes, if you introduced...
Steam coming out of it.
Right, but if you introduced a woman into that, that would completely mess the dynamics, would it not? Wouldn't all you boys start to be
giving it a go.
Get a bit weird and
no,
all a
true.
Bit...
Well, that'd be rugby league if there was...
There's some inspiration for Mardo for the next trip anyway. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tallis, everyone loves Tallis. Morning, Gord.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Well, how do you feel about the result? The right result in the end? The Storm just too good?
Best side all year. I suppose if any side deserves to win the grand final... they lost 4 games all year. It was clinical. You know, you talk about the big three, maybe Cooper Cronk's last ever game, maybe Billy, but the rumour is that Billy might go around again. He's very close to getting the deal done, but obviously after the dust settles, he will make that decision. But, you know, what a performance from the Melbourne Storm. You know, when we thought that they were a little bit shaky against the Eels and a little bit shaky against the Broncos early, and if they started that way again, well, you know, they're just so professional.
Hey, Goody, you know me. I'm not a great professional rugby league. I'm a watcher, but I don't understand it. The thing I would say, though, going into that grand final, looking in the dressing rooms, the Storm looked so much more confident, like they were high-fiving each other, their chests were out, whereas the Cowboys looked nervous.
Yeah, well, there was a little bit of is, you know, about the Cowboys. They had to probably get the Melbourne Storm a little bit off the game, and it would be very comforting knowing that all you got to do is go out there and do your job and don't do anything different, and you're going to win the game of footy. Where the Cowboys probably had to have a little bit go their way, and it probably showed on the faces, Robin. But what did you think of the entertainment, Robin?
Oh, loved it. We were talking about that before. Absolutely loved it. For the first time ever, the AFL and the NRL got it right.
Okay, cool. So you didn't like Meatloaf a couple of years ago?
No.
Yeah. Billy Idol.
Billy Idol, not so great either.
No, okay, cool. No, mate, look, I thought the entertainment was absolutely brilliant. There was a lot of talk in Sydney, you know, just about Macklemore, and I thought he really rocked the house. And it was funny, like, when that One Love song come on, you know, all the cameras that come out, it was a pretty good day. It was good all around. It was good if you're a Melbourne Storm supporter, and spoke to a lot of Cowboys fans at the game, and they were just so happy that their team got there, and, you know, they see a future without Jonathan Thurston and Matt Scott.
Gordy, how many tickets did they end up giving away? Because there were stories in the Sydney press during the week that it was, you know, they were having competitions that basically you didn't even need to win get tickets. How many do you reckon they gave away in the end?
Maybe 5,000, maybe 5,000 or so.
Yeah, okay. It's quite a lot.
You know, mate, I'm not too sure, but the AFL might find that too when the Brisbane Lions and the Suns ever play in the grand final.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true.
You know what I mean? So, like, they have the North Queensland Cowboys, and when they beat the Roosters, I got online, and it was $1,179 to get to Brisbane, which is just unfair for all those Cowboys.
Yeah, I hate when they do that.
Probably would have jumped on.
All right, well, Gordy.
And then you got Melbourne coming the same way, which is, you know, it's price gouging at its worst, and I'd love to see it happen, and I think we saw it a couple of years ago when the side from the west.
Hold on.
It's beautiful for those guys to fly early and back into Melbourne.
You can't blame the airlines. It was the last weekend of school holidays. The NRL's to blame for that. Like, put your grand final on a different time. Unless you think that only teams from Sydney are going to win, it's always going to cost you more to fly that weekend. Start sorting yourselves out. Anyway. Hey, mate.
Very good point.
Hold on. You've started holidays.
Yes. Yes. 20 weeks, mate.
Oh, nice. Oh, what? You're not working for 20 weeks, Gordon Tallis.
Oh, maybe 21, Robin. I don't know. I might sneak a couple more in there.
You could coach 22. The Titans then if you've got nothing else to do.
No, don't go that far.
Yes, come on, mate. He doesn't want to work. Okay, good. I'm sure we'll speak to you soon, mate. Speak to you then.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to you soon, guys.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcastone.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Well, we're so lucky to have this man join us every single week. Rich Uncle Mal, the most powerful man in the nation, on the line live from Point Piper. Good morning, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you, Marto, Ed and Robin. Always a pleasure, never a chore.
Rich Uncle Mal, you were rapping on the project last week with Waleed. Are you actually into hip-hop?
Well, I've always been a tremendous fan of hip-hop. Right back to the East-West rivalry and the death of Tupac and B.I.G., Biggie Smalls. Now, Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg and Puff Daddy are people I've always identified with quite strongly. Right? And so I decided to turn the election campaign last year into a rap battle. I don't know whether you remember me throwing down. I'm Malcolm Turnbull, I'm your sort of guy. Vote for me and the limit is the sky. I like Kafka, foie gras and San Gervaise. Don't vote for Labour, they'll reward the lazy. And I've added to that already. I'm svelte, I'm brown, I'm a man about town. And if you come for me, I'll take you down to the C, to the F, to the M-E-U. If you're union, I'm coming for you.
Now, that's a beat. Wonderful.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, moving
on to... Don't forget to bleep that.
No. Moving on to other things. Did you have a good grand final weekend?
Well, Robbo, I did. I attended both and had to look like I knew what was going on, which was exhausting. At the AFL grand final, I sat next to Greg Hunt, which isn't rhyming slang. I actually sat next to Greg Hunt. Yes. environment. Now, I've been smashed for 4 days, so I think I'll have a mini cleanse of some burdock, beetroot and charcoal this week. Yes.
Oh, lovely. Well, listen, just talking about gas, last week there was a gas shortage, then it miraculously ended.
Well, it did. I've made some decisions, Marto, that'll shore up our supplies into the future for all Australians. Tough decisions, brave decisions. And that is every service station will carry another 50 gas bottles in the little cage next to the front door.
Fantastic.
So if you run out of gas, just pop down to the servo and grab a bottle. And it's really only Melburnians that need heating, and who gives a rats about them?
That's fair enough. Are you singing anything today, Rich Uncle Mal?
Well, I heard disturbingly that Tom Petty had been found unconscious and admitted to hospital. So I say to Tom, because I'm a fan of his too, don't back down. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Well, he has died, Rich Uncle Mal. Now, he has died.
Oh, has
Tom Petty. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, we won't be singing that then, because he will be standing up at the gates of hell.
Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, lovely to speak to you, sir. See you soon.
Before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks Redcliffe. Good on you guys.
Of course, the story that is dominating the news this morning is this awful lone gunman who was operating in Las Vegas at a country music festival. 58 people so far confirmed dead, 515 are injured. Now, earlier this morning, we had a chat to Sarah. Now, she originally came from the Gold Coast, but now lives in Los Angeles. She was watching the concert inside, fairly close to the front, when the firing started.
A lady was in front of me and we were
right up against the stage, and she grabbed her side and she screamed and said that she had been shot, and she moved her hand and blood was everywhere. In that moment, the popping sound was still going, so we dove to the ground and we started to crawl to try and remove ourselves from the area, and then it started again, and it sounded louder and longer, and we just laid on the ground and held each other and started praying.
Absolutely awful and terrifying.
Yeah, well, everyone said it sounded like firecrackers because people don't hear machine guns going off too often unless you're in the military, and that's what he had. They reckon 10 rifles. Well, there's a lot of questions, and we probably should get Claire from our newsroom to answer a few of you there, Claire.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Claire, it's interesting on Twitter because apart from all the celebrities sending condolences, which is pretty normal when stuff like this happens, a lot of people are asking, how does one person manage to kill so many? But it was because he had how many rifles?
Yeah, so they found at least 10 rifles in that one hotel room on the 32nd floor. Now, interestingly, we heard, you know, most of you wouldn't have been awake at the time that the Luke Bono on the night shift spoke to a former Marine overnight. And he said that it sounded very much like one of the guns he's used before. And I'm talking one of those massive guns that only fire if they're on that huge tripod. Now, the obvious question is, how on earth do you get a gun with a huge tripod into hotel like this?
You live in America.
Well, as he said to Luke on the overnight show, is that these are transportable weapons. They break down into a duffel bag. So they were broken down and he put them apart in that room. And that is how he created such massive destruction. It's awful.
Claire, the Daily Mail's reporting that his father, the shooter's father, was a bank robber who did 20 years in jail.
Yeah, so the family is known to several of the US authorities, but the shooter himself, Stephen Paddock, so he's 64 years old, and authorities say he was completely off their radar. They had never heard of him before.
He was rich too, wasn't he? He'd made a lot of money in property or something.
Yeah, and in online gambling, from what we understand from neighbours who are speaking this morning. He was not known. He was certainly not known to any kind of counter-terror authorities, which is another question being asked this morning, but that is who has, unfortunately, committed this.
And then there was a rumour going around that he converted to Islam because ISIS has claimed responsibility, but that's been proved to be nonsense.
Correct. And ISIS, as we're learning, as more and more of these incidents happen, ISIS do claim responsibility for most awful events that are happening. Yeah. So they did jump up and say, we're responsible, but all the US authorities now have said there are no signs of that. They've searched all of his properties, no sign of any radicalisation at this stage. So they're looking at domestic terrorism, obviously, as a possibility, but in terms of ISIS connection, nothing yet.
Hey, can we just play a little bit? I think you've used a little bit of it during the news, but just of the brother of Stephen Paddock who has to go and tell his mother.
Not an avid gun guy at all. The fact that he had those kind of weapons is... Just five of my phones in the house themselves and everything. Where the hell did he get automatic weapons? I thought it was one of my friends. He has no military background or anything like that.
Well, they're saying that because it was a country music festival, a lot of the people in the crowd, it's quite popular with the military country music, a lot of the people in the crowd were either current military or ex-military, and that they were a lot of the people who were able to give first aid to people with gunshot wounds.
First responders,
On the scene, so maybe even more people could have died if they weren't there.
Issues. Ooh, that's a hammering tackle. All the big moments.
Try for Queensland.
The voice of rugby league.
Well, Brad the season's wrapped Warren. Up and it was a big win for the Melbourne Storm. And to give us his thoughts on the grand final and the whole NRL season is the voice of rugby league. 51 years he's been doing it. Good morning, Rabs.
Yeah. Morning, Stilo. Morning, Badge Belcher. And morning to you, Yvonne.
Rabs, what did you think of the grand final?
Well, fat man, to be honest, I don't know. I barely saw it because before the game, I happened to catch Macklemore sing his song about same-sex marriage.
Yes.
And just like Tony Abbott said it would, as soon as I heard the song, I turned gay.
Really?
Yes, Aaron, I did. Before I knew it, I was all over Andrew Johns. The second it started, I was trying to give him the Garlow's pie treatment.
What's that, Raps? What do you mean?
I was trying to inject it with hot meat, I tells you. I was new to the waist, grinding all over the Newcastle legend until Fatty threw a bucket of cold water over my head. He said, Rabs, what's happened? I said, I've turned gay because I've listened to Macklemore.
Hold on, Rabs. Let's get back into the game. Once the game started, though, and you and Andrew Johnson's finished, were you happy for the Melbourne Storm?
No, big man, I wasn't. Let's be fair, I hate the Storm. Me and Gus Gould both agree that they are filthy Melbourne cheats led by that awful Cameron Smith. Hey. I mean, he's got a bum chin and an accountant's body. That's not rugby league. Yvonne, rugby league is big blokes who can't string two words together. That's rugby league, big man. Massive morons covered in tattoos, yes, weeing into their own mouths. Yes. That's rugby league. Yes. I mean, dead set blocker, Roach. I've had it. The NRL needs to get rid of all of the Melbourne and Queensland teams. In fact, Gussie Gould and I were having a couple of Garlo's pies, yes, and a couple of beers, and we've come up with the following solution. Are you, yes, writing this down?
Yes, sir.
We get rid of every single team except the Dragons and the Tigers. They play each other twice a week, every week, shut up, for 60 games a season, and the team with the least amount of players in jail or dead at the end of the season wins a tray of Garlo's pies and a carton of Winnie Blues.
Oh, what an idea, Rabs. You have wrapped up the season, and we look forward to seeing you next season.
Well, you won't, Bo. You won't, because of that. Absolute gutful. I've had a gutful of Garlo's pies, but I've also had a gutful of rugby league. I'm off to commentate the women's big bash and the mixed darts and the under-15s peak shooting. Bye now.
It's 8:04. The roads are in all sorts this morning with the weather. Mark just gave us a call from Greenslopes. He said travelling to the Gold Coast on the M1 took him 20 minutes to get between Movie World and Dream World this morning.
That's a shocker. Yeah.
Hey, listen, something we wouldn't normally report on is a troublesome pub fight in an Irish pub down in Sydney. We usually wouldn't worry about it. And it goes to like this. Security guards restrained a man until police arrived and arrested him. He was later charged with assault. No, la, 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 la. Mm-hmm. Goes on like that. The reason I want to talk about it is because here it starts. Security guards were forced to break up a fight between two warring groups. Many still in costume after a day at the Comic-Con Fantasy Expo at 1:30 a.m. in the morning. And, Robin, am I looking at a...
Power Ranger.
Our Power Ranger, yep, being Power questioned Ranger by police outside the hotel.
It's a blue Power Ranger. Yeah, look at him go.
Many of the revelers, including one dressed as a Power Ranger, well, that's him, and another dressed as Batman character Harley Quinn, had attended the conference, and then there was an argument. And some in the crowd... including one, what's this one? Oh, one is, yeah, some in the crowd, including one dressed as Harley Quinn, that's the aforementioned Batman character, told the agitated man to grow up.
Grow up.
I'm 32 years of age. I'm in my Leica at 1:30 a.m. and I'm yelling out, grow up. Love it.
The situation in Las Vegas, unfortunately, the death toll continues to rise after a gunman opened fire at a music concert. And on the ground for Channel 7 is their US correspondent, Ashley Mullaney, who joins us now. Ashley, we understand, were you staying at the same hotel as the gunman?
Yeah, so we were at the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Last night we were in town covering the O.J. Simpson release.
Of course.
And just caught up in with those hundreds of people in the hotel that were evacuated. We heard the gunshots from our room and decided to go down to the lobby. That's sort of when we realised that it was quite a serious situation.
Well, tell us, you go down to the lobby. Did you end up going outside and get in amongst the gunfire?
So when we were in our rooms, you know, the gunfire was going on for a while. I couldn't quite tell what it was. To be honest, it sounded too loud to be gunfire. It was just incredible. You could hear it. You could feel it. It was whatever it was a high-powered weapon. So I called the cameraman, Duncan McLaren, and I said, are you hearing this? Are you hearing what I'm hearing? And he said, yeah, it's definitely gunfire. So we went down to the lobby, and at that point we were ushered out to the valet area, but then they realised that maybe that wasn't so safe either, given he was opening fire onto the street. Yeah. So they put us back into the lobby, and eventually everyone sort of dispersed and went their separate ways, and we went out onto the strip to sort of see if we could get a little bit closer to that concert area. But, you know, it was chaotic in the hotel, you know, knowing that there was a shooter in there, but he didn't have his sights set on anyone in the hotel. He was clearly targeting those poor people across the road at that music festival. 22,000 people were there, and just a cowardly barbaric thing to do, you know, perched from 32 floors above, opening fire on this crowd of people. You just, I can't even really begin to imagine how terrifying it would have been for those people on the ground, just not knowing where this hail of bullets is coming from.
Ashley, having been there and seen the aftermath, do you think the death toll's going to rise?
Well, I think with 515 people injured, some of those critically, we would definitely expect the death toll to rise. Just the sheer number of rounds that this man, this deranged individual, fired into the crowd. We knew pretty quickly that there were going to be mass casualties, and sadly that's the case. 58 people dead. I mean, that's 58 families, or 58 bodies that will be identified, and 58 families just completely torn apart. This man, Stephen Paddock, killed himself before police got into his room. But it seems as though he's carried out this premeditated and barbaric act that he was planning to do.
Ash, what was the length of time between the start of the gunfire and the police closing in on his room and him killing himself?
You know, I need to find out exactly what the time frame is, because in this sort of moment of chaos, you kind of lose your sense of time and sure. What you think feels like. It sounds strange, but I need to check exactly what it was, because it felt like a really long time that gunfire was going. I've heard reports that it was an hour between the gunfire starting and police getting into his room. If that's the case, obviously that's a really long time. It took some time to figure out where the bullets were coming from. People on the ground, they thought there was a shooter on the ground. They didn't realise. It wasn't until there were some off-duty military guys that, you know, they realised it was coming from above. Some absolute heroes as well in there that went into the line of fire to try and help people. Just some of the first-hand accounts that we're hearing, unbelievable.
Well, Ashley Mullaney, Channel 7 US correspondent, who's on the ground in Las Vegas. Thanks for speaking to us today. We'll see your updates across the day on 7. Thanks, Ash.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for checking out the Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up. While you're in the mood to check out things, have a gander at West Point Nissan, where the big one's back. Get one unbelievable deal and rate across a range of Nissan vehicles like X-Trail, Pathfinder and Navara. Hurry, this is your one chance to take advantage of one great finance offer. Only for a limited time and only at West Point Nissan, 440 Moggill Road, Indooroopilly, or westpointnissan.com.au.